Welcome to the next episode of the Never Hack Estonia Cybercast. My name is Lewis Zezeran, and this is the next episode in our series of our Client Day 2026, when we have some of our partners here in our office in Tallinn, Estonia. We've had some very fascinating presentations throughout the day from our partner companies to our current clients. And now, as we're in the evening, enjoying a few drinks, enjoying something to eat, dancing and entertainment, I am one by one dragging our partners here into the podcast studio to discuss the topics and have a little bit of a just casual chat about cybersecurity. And today, for the next one, we have our partner from Recorded Future. They are a cyber threat intelligence platform. We offer this platform as part of our GSOC service to our customers. And I'm very happy to be speaking to Piotr Chopik here from Recorded Future. How are you, Peter? How's your day? Is this your first time in Tallinn?
No, second or third, I guess.
Okay.
Great to be here.
Lovely to be here.
Yeah.
Good coming in here. So, Peter, tell us about your background.
So, I spent more than 15 years in the cybersecurity business. I actually started with the endpoint security, some smaller antivirus solutions. Then I was working for several years for the one of the biggest distributors in Europe, covering firewalls, web application firewalls, vulnerability management solutions, and so on. I was actively working as an auditor, also a certified ethical hacking trainer. And right now, as you describe, I'm working as an engineer for a Recorded Future.
Right. Did I understand in Poland, like, some people know who you are? Like, you're something of a voice of cybersecurity?
In Poland, I guess so, because of many vendors that I was cooperating with. So, yeah.
Cool. All right. Very interesting. We've got Polish cybersecurity royalty here with us. No, I've overblown that one. Peter's a lovely guy. So we were talking about, today, about threat hunting. And so today I wanted to speak about threat hunting and what is this investigation process. It was very fascinating, the use case that you gave us. What is the day in the life of a threat hunter? And then a little bit about how the act and the art and the skill of threat hunting then fits into a SOC, a security operations center, which is typically known as an automated thing. We talk with our automated partners. We've got a rule. We've got an automation. We've got an AI to do something. And that was very different to what you were talking about today. So let's start off. What is threat hunting in your words?
So the main goal of my presentation is to show to the participants that threat hunting is not that sexy thing that you can see in the movies where the guys are actually hacking and looking for something, because most of their jobs, I mean, threat hunter, is actually to learn to investigate how different things works, what are the, you know, correlation between different processes in the operating system. And I would say 90% of their jobs is learning process, like constantly learning, reading stuff, looking through different articles, the methodology of the threat actors, and so on. And probably the last 5 or 10% is based on actual threat hunting, when they are looking for things, finding all those evidences, and so on. So that was my main goal of the presentation, to present that whole effort that have to put into their job to actually find what they are looking for.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting, a point that you made. You spoke about different hacking groups, and there's this group and that group, and that they tend to have, I guess, some sort of calling card or signature method that they use. And you explained that it's, well, they know a particular way of hacking. They are particularly skilled at that, so they tend to keep using it, just as any human might have a particular competency or skill and keep using it. So sometimes you can tell who's doing the bad things by the techniques that they're using, because you're like I've seen this playbook before.
Yeah, correct. As a people, we love patterns, right? If we know something, we know how something works. If we are comfortable with the whole process, probably we're going to do it over and over again until it works well, right? So the bad guys, they are doing the same thing. Since the process works, they will do the same thing with the different victims, because what do we do as a people, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to overcomplicate everything. So I was trying to present some patterns, and the methodology of actually, you know, fighting with those people. If we can break the change, if we can figure out their methodology, we will force them actually to rethink the whole strategy, and we're gonna make their life much more complicated.
It's like throwing them off balance. It's like, I know what you do, I know your playbook, I know the next thing you're probably gonna do, and so if you keep doing that, I'm one step ahead of you.
Yeah.
So that means then, okay, they've got to change, they've got to adapt, but that means they're behind the game now. They have to, because you were kind of putting it that that's, if you can find their pattern, that the pyramid you spoke, pyramid of pain, I think, that if you can find their pattern, you can find the typical tactics and overall techniques that an attacker uses, and you can shut that down, then that's like very hard for them to pivot. I mean, not impossible, but it's painful.
It's painful. It will not shut them down, definitely. But it will force them to change the pattern, which means they will have to spend more time to, you know, rethink the whole methodology and to create a new approach.
Right. So
you want to slow them down, basically.
You want to slow down that attacker. So let's work through. It was a very interesting case example you gave of the day in the life of the threat hunter. And I guess to start us off, you deliberately installed malware into a Windows 11 just to simulate, hey, what it was like. So the assumption, if I took away correctly, was malware's already on the machine, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow they've used ClickFix, they've used some sort of backdoor, a macro, whatever it is to get access to your machine. And then you were sort of picking through the logs to find, to try and the scent of the trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the main goal for the presentation was to show how difficult it is to spot the specific activities of the threat hunters, even if you exactly know what you are looking for. Mm-hmm. So I was in that privileged position that I've created the whole demo environment. So I was actually aware what I'm looking for. And now to flip that coin, try to imagine how much effort you have to put as a threat hunter if you have no idea what you are looking for, which is usually the case when you are fighting with a new threat actor and so on. So yeah, that was basically the goal of the presentation.
So I guess big picture stuff here is, and maybe cybersecurity professionals know, it's basically the equivalent of looking through a SIEM. We're getting all sorts of logs out of a machine of processes and metrics and all the stuff you can typically monitor about a machine, accesses, things that are coming in and out. And we've got to pick through all of that data and find or prove that someone has got some access to it. And this is made particularly hard because, okay, we're looking for a rogue, we're looking for the malware. And the malware is a process that is running, but it's usually not called malware.exe. And so this adds some particular layers of difficulty. Like you don't even, at least you know where to start because you had started, but if you don't even know where to start and maybe the bad guys are trying to really hide, this can be particularly difficult. Like you were naming it, you were naming the malware something that they would expect to find on the system.
Yeah, in my presentation, I was naming it simply as a part of the Splunk environment in my demo environment. And that's what they actually do. They want to hide those bad processes with the names and, you know, naming convention and directories that are usually being used by the legitimate processes. So that's what they do. And that's why it's so difficult to spot those behaviors. It's like, you know, searching for a needle, right?
So the Splunk was already on the system. Splunk was the CM that we're using to collect the logs, but Splunk was already on the system, so you named the malware Splunk as well.
Yeah, why not?
So right. And it was, at first I was like, why is he using Splunk? That's super confusing that he's also using Splunk. And I'm like, oh, if I'm confused, that's the point, is to be confusing that Splunk's on the system. And the malware is called Splunk, meaning that the bad actors will try to name their malware something similar. So even if you're looking down a list of processes, you open Task Manager, you're looking down the list there, and you see like notepad.exe.
Right, we are using Splunk, so.
Yeah, it's there. I've got Notepad open. Hey, Notepad process
of
there.
Of course.
it's fine. It must be okay. But
actually,
it's not.
One of the participants gave us a really great example of the recent Notepad++ activity, right, which was recognized as a malware, and we were able actually to find that malicious campaign in our database in the recorded future. So that's actually a great example to
that's
cover.
That's interesting. Yeah. So the Note++, it's been widely reported on that it was a infrastructure attack. So there was their update mechanism and bad guys got into, I think basically their VPS got into their server, hijacked that at some sort of operating system level, were able to get into their update mechanism. So when you pull down the update for Notepad++, you were pulling down an update that included malware, and that's how they got into your system. So this is a good one then. So what did Recorded Future as a cyber threat intelligence platform? Because I understand people may not understand what the hell a cyber threat intelligence platform tells us, what it does. There's so much information, but it's a bit unknown. What did Recorded Future tell us about this incident?
About the Notepad++.
About the Note, yeah. What, like the guy said, hey, tell me about Notepad++, and you went to record. What did your system tell us about that?
Yeah. So as a platform in general, we are collecting data from many different sources from the internet. So the open sources, like completely legal places on the internet, but also like the hidden places, like the dark web and the deep web and so on. So in relation to that specific example, we were looking for some files that has been submitted via our sandbox environment. So as a sandbox environment, how it usually works, we are detonating that file in a, you know, different version of the operating systems. We are looking for special behaviors, and we are describing the whole process by creating a different rules and signatures. Signatures is not the best word in this example, but different behavior schemas, I would say. And in this specific example that one of the participants was asking me about, we are able to deliver the whole information about that malicious version of the Notepad++, including those additional commands that those particular executable was raising inside the operating system. And that's actually how usually the threat hunters are looking for those strange behaviors in the operating systems. They're looking at the legitimate process, at least the process that looks like the legitimate one, but is calling some additional commands in the operating systems that are, you know, usually related to the not regular behaviors of the operating systems, like, you know, scanning, networking, doing in general lateral movement and so on. You
know. Yeah, that's a good example. So this issue with Notepad++ has been there for a number of months. My takeaway from that is virus scanners weren't picking this up. Clearly, scanners aren't getting this because it was in everyone's network for months and months and months. So if I take away from what you said, your platform analyzed, like you could put the known payload into a sandbox. And is this some sort of special VM that is allowing this deeper inspection into what's happening in there? So it could be like, hey, here's the hash of the file. Actually, hey, here's the different things that it's doing, allowing this really deep analysis of how the malware is doing its thing. So then security professionals could get that at the hash, get that process information and go like, oh, okay, I'm going to run that on my system, this new hash, this new, and go like, oh, wait, yeah, I do have that. My virus scanner didn't pick it up because, you know, it was so good at going under the covers.
Yeah,
so
the hash is a piece of cake because you can easily change it, right?
Right, right. Okay,
that's
sure.
Actually at the bottom of that pyramid of pain,
right,
that I was presenting, right? But if we can spot like the specific commands that this executable was executing on the operating system, that's the real power, right? As a threat hunter, as an analyst, you can use your tools like Splunk or you can name the any other additional CM system that the customer may potentially use in their environment. And you can exactly spot those very strange behaviors. Mm. And there you go. You have an answer if the bad guys are approaching your system because of that strange version of.
Sure, because typically executable. Our current whatever was analyzing the SIEM or the virus scanner wasn't picking it up.
Yep.
But through your platform, it's gone, hey, look at this. Actually, take these lines and stick this into your analyst tool. And it'll pick it up now. And it goes like, oh, suddenly I've got the definition might be the tool I was
presenting, actually, it can generate YARA rules or Sigma rules that can be used on your CM system or EDR system, and you can actually actively search for those specific behaviors.
Right. So an admin could have been like, hey, we're not picking up Note++. I haven't heard anything about this from my CM. Could have gone to Recorded Future, got the rules from that and taken that, plugged that into their CM, and then run that over the logs.
Yep, correct.
And find out, oh, actually, wow, half of our machines have got this problem on there.
Correct.
Interesting. So that's how a threat hunting solution ties into a typical CM. Because I think I was interested in, like, I was very fascinated by the detective work that you were doing. It's, you know, it feels like true old school detective work of going through logs and looking at this. And my question from that was, how does that get incorporated into a typical CM environment? Because if you talk to any other CM vendor, like, we're automated, we've got AI, we've got a rule, we've got machine learning, we're going to find everything automatically. But that isn't always the case, no matter how all our vendors are very good, but they don't always find every little thing. So for those edge cases or really difficult things, we need a bit of old-fashioned detective work to generate those very specific rules. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah, that's correct. Basically, that's the main takeaway from my presentation, I guess. If you are a classical threat hunter, you have to put a lot of effort to learn and understand how all those things works. What I was trying to do, and what I was trying to present during my session, was how we can make that day in life of a threat hunter at least a bit better, a bit easier, by, you know, automating at least that searching part, that part where they are getting the knowledge about how the bad guys operates, how the specific malware works. That's what we can really automate with the Recorded Future platform. We can simply bring that data into their table.
So let's say, so the Note++ example is a good one because it's very public. I could read about it on everywhere and I'd be like, oh, fuck, Note++ is better. So I think my question also was, how do I even know what I'm looking for? Why? I'm a threat hunter. I'm a detailed detective who's going to go through logs and find the things to see them. But how do I even know what I'm looking for? Is it that some weird stuff is happening that my CM isn't, my security isn't picking up? Or why do I go and threat hunt in the first place?
You are threat hunting because you're aware that standard security solutions like your EDRs, your antivirus, your firewalls, they may skip the activities of the threat actors because those bad guys don't know what they're doing, right? Okay. So they know how to hide those malicious processes in your operating system. So how do we know? How do they know what they are looking for? I guess it comes with the experience. It's like the common sense. They know that some, it's like looking at the picture and you see that something is wrong. You don't know what exactly. Very often you cannot like point it, but you know that something doesn't work on that picture. And then you have to understand, what is that thing?
What is going through? Yeah. So maybe you see a small little thing. I'm guessing you see some weird network access, some weird, but you're not quite sure, right? There's some weird process, some weird network access, something, but nothing's quite triggering full on, but you know something's up, but you're not quite sure. It's not being picked up by a traditional rule or something established. Then you need to go picking through the logs and the down in the weeds to sort of pull together these things that aren't already pulled together. Okay.
And usually after, you know, picking all those small pieces, you can create the picture from those puzzles. Then you know there is a process that looks legitimate, but it has been triggered from a strange directory. It is running some additional commands that the regular process usually don't, right? It is calling some IPs or domains on the internet, which is already suspicious. So we are connecting all those small dots to create the whole picture. Right?
Does it also happen from the opposite direction, from a very high level? So We are here, and the example that you brought out as well, we have the enemy state that is next door and is known. We know about a lot of the groups that are over there. And maybe I could say, hey, I'm an Estonian manufacturing company. And probably then I could say, like, hey, these five groups from Russia are known for accessing manufacturing companies, or this mm-hmm. might, you know, these five bad actors are known. When I look at their actions, because they tend to stick to their kind of patterns, they tend to focus on my sort of company.
Yeah, you mean they're specialized in the specific industry, for example.
Or yep. we're using particular software. So mm-hmm. I know, so I can look at Recorded Future and be like, hey, these five Russian hacking groups mm-hmm. might very likely want to get into my business because I'm in that industry or I'm adjacent or yep, something like that. And then work through and then be like, yo, well, what do they do? Well, they typically have these methods. So I know these five are typically trying to get into my sort of company. What are the methods that these five five use? Oh, right. Then I should pay more attention to the typical methods that they're using.
Yeah, that's excellent example. As a Recorded Future, we are building something that's being called a threat heat map or malware heat map. Mm-hmm. And it's based on all the factors that you have just described, right? So we are looking at your industry, maybe the brands that you own in your wallet, the third parties that you have in your supply chain, and so on. And because of the fact that most of the threat actors, they are specialized in this specific sector, they are breaching, you know, software they like because of the vulnerabilities and exploits that they already have for those specific issues. So if you are that type of the company, you are working in the specific industry, you have specific technology stack, we can show you as a Recorded Future platform that you might be a potential target of those bad guys that you have just, you know, described very well.
Yeah, I like what you said about as well third parties, because the experience that I've seen from our cyber threat intelligence team here in NeverHack, that if you're a major player or a big company, you're probably pretty well protected already. You've got some money, you might have been through some stuff already, you're connected. But it's the smaller partners that they might actually, they're looking to get into the network or the infrastructure of a smaller partner, because then that's the lateral movement into the bigger partner, which is what we're, the message we try and send to small Estonian companies. Oh, I am small Estonian company. What? No one wants to hack me. Yes, 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 yes. But they want to get into your network because then they can leapfrog themselves into your partner.
Right.
So we want to find not just who's interested in us, but who are we dealing with? And that's what Recorded Future
helps with.
Excellent
example.
Right?
And actually, we have a dedicated module for that called third-party intelligence. We also had an additional tool called Risk Recon that can help organization to track the whole supply chain, all the partners or the, you know, contractors they are dealing with. Because as you described, as a small contractor, you feel secure because... Yeah. Who wants to breach to your environment? You are just a, you know, small fish in the ocean, but they will actually do it to reach out to the bigger fishes environment, right? Mm. Yeah, so excellent example.
Sure, because they can get in through you. And my other answer to when I hear that from you know, oh, they're not going to be interested in me, I'm too small. My answer to that is, like, if your security isn't very good, well, you're an easy payday, bro. Like, no, you don't have a lot of money, but if I can spend the afternoon and break in, well, maybe I've made enough money for the afternoon.
Maybe that's
right?
good enough for
it's
the
good
afternoon.
It's good enough, right? Hey, I didn't have to, it wasn't $1 million payday, but I only spent half a day on it. So, you know, don't think that they won't have a go at you just because, you know, low hanging fruit is still fruit.
No.
For if you're a smaller organization like that.
There is an interesting, research from the Risk Recon that has been made for the ransomware victims. Do you know what is the average number of the average incidents for the companies? How many times they are usually being breached by using ransomware?
How many times?
Only one.
Once, okay, that's
yeah, it. Because that's good enough, right?
Oh, right.
It doesn't matter if you're big or small, they will breach you once, they will take your money and that's it,
right? And so is the idea then after the one, you're either bankrupt or you come knocking to your security provider, hey, lock this shit down.
Yeah.
So, okay, we only get burnt once. We don't get burnt twice, but once is enough. Well, once is enough to lose your money, but once is also enough to lose your reputation.
Of course.
As well. So once is it, right? Okay, you get in and then that's it. Huh, interesting. So, okay, this helps me understand the way that this individual, quite bespoke threat hunting fits in with a autonomous SOC that is doing its things with rules and machine learning and AI on the everyday. We sort of need the autonomous or the highly automated SOC for the day-to-day, for the regular things, for those sort of things. But there's always going to be those edge cases, those advanced threat actors who are really going under the covers, and there's always going to be need for bespoke investigations. And that's what a threat hunter, that's what Recorded Future can help us with.
Yeah, that's a great summary, actually.
Oh, dude, I'm good. I should never hack.
You should run a podcast or something.
I know. It's almost like I should be a technical sales engineer for a cybersecurity company based in Estonia. I know. Thank you. Poeta, thank you very much for coming in today. I appreciate you traveling to Estonia. It was very illuminating. If the reason I was able to describe it to you well today, it's because your talk was very well said and I was able to learn from you already. So thank you very much.
It was a huge pleasure. So thank you so much.
Nice one. So thank you. This was the next episode of the Never Hack Estonia Cybercast here from Client Day 2026. If you'd like to find more information, you can go to neverhack.ee. My name is Lewis Ezran. See you next time.